Let's go ahead and grab your notes and we'll begin to go through those. Today we are going to look at the seven prophetic words around the birth of Jesus. And Bev, thank you for reading the verses out of Philippians. And Angelica, thank you for reading the verses out of Isaiah that talk about about Jesus. So Christmas is about celebrating the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And some of the greatest gifts that we receive are spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, wrong size glasses this morning. It says in Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So some of the greatest blessings that you receive are spiritual blessings. And so we're going to talk about seven blessings that not only the birth of Jesus brought, but his death and his resurrection and what he brings into our life today. So he has blessed us. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, and we're going to read some verses out of John that talk about Christ. But before we read those, just got a thank you prayer here. It says, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your protection, your guidance, your friendship, your peace, your unfailing love. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Amen? So John chapter 1, and the beginning, it talks in the first part about the coming of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. The Word dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And so let's read here in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So Christ is wanting to come to your life this Christmas season. And it's up to you to unwrap the gift of Jesus. It's up to you what you're going to get out of. And even these seven names or seven words that we're going to go through today, you think, well, I've already heard all these words before. And it's important for you to hear them again. And this is a powerful Bible verse. It's actually, according to your faith, it is going to be done unto you. Did you believe that? All right, God is God. But if you want God to be big into your life, it's actually God will be God to the extent that you have faith that he is God. Amen? So these are seven names, whatever, or seven words that are talking about what Jesus came. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But we want to make sure we make room in our heart for the Lord. Amen? Verse 12, but to all those that did receive him, he gave the right to become his children, even children of God. That's the greatest gift that we can have. Verse 14, the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh. That's what we celebrate during the Christmas season. We're celebrating the come of Jesus, God becoming man. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We beheld the character and the nature of God. John 14, it says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Here's three reasons why Jesus came. This is not free. This is free. This is not in your nose. But maybe part of it is. But Jesus came to show us the Father. Amen? John 14, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Actually, we wanted to see a little bit better picture of God than we saw in the Old Testament. And it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 that he is the exact representation of the Father. Basically, he's God's nature, God's character. So if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. So these are not in your notes, but he came to show us the Father. I guess they are part of it in your notes. He came to redeem us, and then he also came to show us how to live. Amen? So let's look at these seven words here. And the first word is salvation. Second word is favor. It's all in your notes. The third word is blessing. Then guidance, joy, redemption, and peace. All right, so point number one, salvation. Found in Luke chapter 1. And I'm only picking out one or two verses out of the verses that are going to be up on the screen. But it's verse 68 and 69. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation. The Greek word for salvation, the word for soul, for saved is sozo in the Greek, and the word for salvation is soteria, and it means to redeem and to buy back. Do you realize that, and this is amazing, sometimes just go home and read Romans chapter 5, and you think that the work of the fall and the work of sin and what happened because Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, It says five different times in Romans 5, the power of sin and that death reigned through all, and all the consequences of that sin and disobedience to God. But every time in Romans 5, when it talks about the results of the fall, the results of the curse, the results of what Satan did and the power of sin, each time it ends the verse with, but much more. Verse 17 is amazing. Much more did the gift of righteousness reign through life. Verse 17, and now we have received that abundance of grace, and we've received that gift of righteousness. Now, if we open the gift of Jesus, we can reign in this realm of life. Amen? I don't have to wait to get to heaven to walk in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is within. And he said, some of you will not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the Son of Man, hopefully, has come into your kingdom and into your life, and you've been born again, and you've been saved. Amen? So one of the great words of salvation means that Jesus bought you back from everything that came on you as a result of the fall. You know, we'll get to the Jesus being our Redeemer, but he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Heaven being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is any man that hangs on the tree. Jesus took on the curse. He took on sin, so you don't have to be bound to sin anymore. Amen? We're free. We can stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. We don't have to be entangled in a yoke of bondage. The power of sin and the sin nature has been broken over us because of the gift of Jesus in our lives. Amen? So we know that our Redeemer lives, and he lives on the inside of us. Amen? So once again, when I read a story, and your job is what is your job to do? Laugh. All right, you guys got it down. My wife thought this was kind of cute. Deb, I'm not going to buy any guns, but here we go. A couple were in a busy shopping center just before Christmas. The wife suddenly noted that her husband was missing. As they had a lot to do, she called him on the mobile, on the phone, on the cell. The wife said, "Where are you? You know we have lots to do." He said, "Well, you remember this, I'm sorry. You remember the jewelers we went into about 10 years ago? And you fell in love with that diamond necklace? And I couldn't afford it at that time. And it said that one day I would get it for you." Little tears started to flow down her cheek. She got all choked up. "Yes, I do remember that shop," she replied. "Well, I'm in the gun shop right next to that." Lord, forgive me, amen. Have you ever seen those little clips that, you know, certain months of the year are just another month to buy your husband a gun? Amen. Amen. There you go. We got an amen out there. All right. So why would I share that story? I don't know, just to make you laugh, all right? But one of the reasons is, the Bible verse, and we'll get to this as far as talking about the blessing of God. In Acts 20 and verse 35, it said it's actually more blessed to give than it is to receive. So one of the meanings of Christmas, as you receive these seven revelations of who Jesus Christ in your life, you want to share them with other people. Amen? You don't want to keep them hidden. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "If we be a natural or evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." You guys get excited for Christmas? Do you get excited for giving your kids and your grandkids gifts and seeing their faces as they unwrap them? So you think those gifts are great, but it says, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? He wants to give you good gifts this Christmas. And the greatest gifts that you can have and receive are spiritual gifts, and these are found in Jesus Christ. So point number one is that we can receive salvation from the Lord. Point number two is that we can receive favor. The verses are found in Luke chapter 26 and through 30. And in those verses, you'll find it said, the angel said, "Rejoice, Mary, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." What is the favor of God? It means that the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. Psalms 23, we quote this verse all the time in verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life." You want to have the favor and the blessing of God? And what do? You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Once again, I'm going to come back to this, hopefully every time we read this verse. But it says, you know, it's according to your faith, it'll be done unto you. God will be exactly what you believe for him to be in your life. And so today, if you're not born again, today would be a good day to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not as close to God as you once were, today is a good day to be rededicated and recommit your life to Jesus Christ to receive the full outpouring of his salvation. So the second word is favor. It's the evidence of the approval of God. Do you remember when Jesus was in being baptized and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I want God to be pleased with me every day of my life." Our men's leader up at Siren would always ask us this question on Thursday night. How did you do this week, guys? I'm making God smile. I want God to look down on me, and I want him to be pleased, and I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want him to say, "This is one of my beloved kids, and I'm well pleased with him." Amen. We want to make God smile. We are favored because of what God has done for us. We didn't earn that. It was by God's grace, and he laid it to our account. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor because of his obedience. If you follow along in your notes here, his obedience brought blessing, favor, protection, and deliverance. Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, amen. He bestows favor and honor upon us, amen. One of the Lord's blessings, it says in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph. That's the favor of the Lord. Would you like the Lord to be with you? In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, the Father and the Holy Spirit is with me. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Amen. He has anointed me. So we want the favor and the presence and the blessing of God to rest upon us. When Jabez prayed the prayer out of 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10. He said, "Lord, bless me indeed." What's the purpose of you wanting to be blessed this Christmas season? Or favored? Or any of these things? It's so that you can pass these things on, amen? We are blessed. So the Lord was with Joseph. He caused whatever he did to prosper. As much as you might not like different things that President Trump says, whatever, I believe that the hand of the Lord is upon him. I believe that the favor and the blessing of the Lord is upon him. Now, don't hold that against me if you don't like him, but I think when the jobs report came on, and what did we add? 266,000 jobs were added, amen? I believe, personally, that's the blessing and favor of the Lord, amen? That what, our employment rate is the lowest it's been in 50 years. What is it at? 3.5%? Is that what it's at? Did I get the right thing? Okay. I believe that the favor of the Lord can actually, and we need to come back to God as a nation. Would you say amen? We want the blessing and the favor of God to be upon us. In Isaiah 49 and verse 6, I'm kind of going away from my notes here, but I believe that our founding fathers made a covenant with God. This was a covenant to Israel, so it's not a covenant that God made with us, but our founding fathers took a verse out of the Bible, Isaiah 49:6, and it said that you will be, and this was for Israel, you would be a light to the nations. And I believe our founding fathers desired for us as a nation to be a light to all the world and bring Jesus, amen? And that's what we want to do this Christmas season. People are more open to Jesus this time of year than any other time of the year. And let's let the light of Jesus come, amen? So point number three we're going to look at, and these actually are all tied together. They're all found in Jesus. But the thing that we want to look at now is the blessing of God. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 42, it says, "Blessed," and this is talking about Mary, "are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Amen. Where do we find blessing in Jesus? It's Luke verse 2 and verse 14. What did he say? "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Isn't that amazing that now, because of what Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God? Amen? You realize that the wrath of God abided in you because you were a sinner and you were separated from the life of God. But now God sent Jesus, and Jesus is our propitiation. I know that's a big word, but you know what that means? God sent Jesus to appease the wrath of God. God was in Christ reconciling the world so you can be reconciled with God. The dividing wall has been torn down. The enmity and the wall and the barrier and the wrath of God and the sin of all mankind was laid upon Jesus. Amen? The veil's been rent. Amen? And now because you've been reconciled, you can come boldly into the presence of God and receive blessing. You can receive grace, which you don't earn, His ability, His Holy Spirit, grace and help and strength in time of need. And we can be blessed, amen? And the reason we want to be blessed, it's not a selfish thing. The reason we want to be blessed is so that we can be a blessing, amen? One of the main reasons that God wants to bless us as a church, He gives us in Deuteronomy 8:18 the power to get wealth. And what's the reason for that wealth? In order to establish His covenant. So when we are blessed, we are able to be a blessing. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I quoted it earlier. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So what does it mean to be blessed? It's in your notes, to be endowed with divine favor and protection. Amen? So sometimes part of that protection comes just by getting more wisdom. I cut some wood with Tony yesterday, and I'm getting older, and hopefully I'm getting smarter, amen? So I actually ordered chaps for the first time in my life. I've been cutting wood for my whole entire life, but Tony said, hey, put some chaps on, amen? You know what? If you want the blessing of God, some things come just really simple, amen? Put some chaps on your legs so if you get actually, you're older than you used to be and you're not quite as stable as you used to be on your feet, it'd be just a good idea to be protected. And sometimes you get protected because God gives you wisdom, amen? So thank you, Lord Jesus. I actually, they were on a big time cyber sale this week and I actually ordered myself a pair. So God is good, amen? Merry Christmas to Andy, amen. So blessed, to be endowed with divine favor and protection. Actually, God gives you wisdom sometimes for protection. Both Deb and I we're getting older. I'm sorry I keep saying that little phrase, but, you know, just as far as Thanksgiving. You know, the family wanted it. We were going to go up early. We were going to enjoy family for Thanksgiving. But both of us looked at each other. I don't think we want to drive in the ice and the snow. If you looked up what was going on Thanksgiving week up in the Twin Cities, they were getting ice and snow and all that. Sometimes God will just give you wisdom. And in that wisdom, you find blessing and protection. And all God's people said, amen. Same thing Saturday. We didn't want to come home probably as early as we did, but we looked at each other and said, you know what? I don't want to drive in that snowstorm. Why don't we go home early as well? Amen. So part of the blessing comes with the wisdom of God. So let's follow along in our notes on some of the other verses on blessing. Luke 1, verse 37 and 38, Mary was blessed. And what did she say in response to what the angel said? She said, no word of God will ever fail. Basically, she said nothing is impossible with God. No word of God is void of power and results. It's right underneath the scriptures on blessing. She said, be it done unto me according to the word of God. If you want to walk in the blessings of God, it says in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 and 2, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, if you do that which is right in his sight, he said, then all of these blessings will come upon you. And amen. I quote those verses all the time. I'll be blessed in the city. I'll be blessed in the field. I'll be like Joseph in Genesis 39, 2. He will bless the works of my hands and cause whatever I do to prosper. Amen. Bless me in the city. Bless me in the field. Bless me going in. Bless me going out. That the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. It was evident that the blessing of the Lord was upon Jesus. And I want everybody to look at me and I want them not to see Andy, but I want them to be able to say, you know what? The blessing of God is upon him. Amen. And I want him to say the same thing. I want everybody who sees you to see the same blessing. Some other couple of verses about blessing. The story in the Old Testament, it's found in your notes there. It's 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, the ark of the Lord remained at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And what happened when the ark of the Lord was at his house? He had everybody said, because the ark of the Lord was there, the blessing of God was there. Amen. So one of the goals that we have at church is that, and the worship team does an amazing job, is that we have actually an encounter with the living God through our praise and worship here on Sunday morning. And when the ark of the Lord shows up, and actually, you are the ark of the Lord now, amen? You don't have to go to Obed-Edom's house to be blessed, amen? You are now the ark of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6 says now you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So I expect to walk in the blessings of God. These are 7 blessings that Jesus wants to bring to your life. Amen. I want to walk in the blessings of God. He has already given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. I don't need anything outside of him because all of these blessings are found in him. Amen. So I'm going to be found in him, and I'm going to let him be found in me. Amen? So we are that temple of God. And I want, you know, they looked down and they said, man, because the ark of the Lord is here, blessing was upon his house. Amen? God's greatest blessing always rests in God himself. So we should remain in God. We are the dwelling place of God, and that brings his favor and blessing. Psalm 103, don't doubt those blessings. Let's believe in them, amen. Point number four, you guys following along on your notes with me? So we're on guidance now. The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Matthew 1, 19 through 22, and he said, because he was going to divorce Mary. But he was an honorable man, and he wanted to do it in private. He didn't want her to suffer public shame. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived inside of her is of the Holy Spirit. So God guided Joseph to take Mary as his wife. So not only does God want to guide Mary and Joseph, he wants to guide you, amen? My dad, even before he was saved, was praying for God's blessing and guidance upon his blessing his studies because he was studying engineering. Even before he was saved, Lord, direct me in the career and the job that I'm going to have. Bless me, Lord, in helping me to make the right decision on the marriage partner. So God wants to guide actually all of the jobs that you ever get, amen? All the places that you'd ever live. Even actually, he wants to bless even the houses you buy and the cars you buy. Wouldn't that be amazing that actually that you always made the right decisions on every decision that you ever made? If you look back over your life, wouldn't that be a power of God's blessing if you always made the right decisions? Proverbs 16 says that God wants to do that. Proverbs 3 said, if you acknowledge me, God said, I'll direct your steps. Proverbs 16 said, if you commit your ways to the Lord, you know what he'll do? He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will so that his plans are established. And then, you know, when you get his plans, what happens? You're automatically blessed. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, God, bless my plans. Well, no. Why don't you just get the plans of the Lord? Because his plans for your life are always blessed. Amen? We want to get our own plans and whatever and our own desires. And we ask God to bless them. Well, you know what? Why don't we just get God's plan? But a lot of times God will speak to you through people. Dave, we'll see if 2 months from now I'm still thanking you for that email. But I signed up for coaching 7th grade girls basketball. You know, Lynn, you asked me, a couple months ago, what do you think about getting back into coaching? What was my response? Not a chance, right? But as soon as I read that email from Dave, I had a light bulb that went off on the inside of me. Jenny, you were in the office when I got the email. I said, I'm going to do that. All of a sudden, God spoke to me. My dad didn't even know what a civil engineer was, and some teacher said, some of you here listening to me right now are going to be civil engineers. How's this for how great God is, and he will lead us, amen? Dad was a civil engineer in the city of Winona for 34 years. It was really cool at his retirement party. One of the guys, one of his supervisors, he was a smart aleck, and when Dad first got hired, he said, you know, nobody has ever survived and been in this job longer than 7 years in the history of Winona as a city. So at the retirement party, Dad, being a little bit of a smart aleck as well, after 34 years and Dad was retired, he went to that guy and said, hey, just wanted to know, how did I do? You guys with me? God can guide and direct you, and he wants to be your guide, amen? When we went to Winona, one of the reasons that Dad, the first part that he had to do was we live on the Mississippi River. And in the 1960s, I think it's 1965 and 69, I was only a little far. The first time I was 4 and the second time I was 9. But I still remember those days because Dad wasn't home at night because he was worried about all the water that kept coming through the Mississippi and coming into downtown. So Dad spent about the next 25 years of his life, and I'd hate to say how many millions of dollars they spent to build that dike, but you know what? The city of Winona is never going to be flooded. And God, and even he'd go to the state capitol, what was it, St. Paul, the capital of Minnesota, isn't it? Okay, he would go up there, and these people would ask Dad different things. How did you come and make those decisions? And Dad would, you know, he was pretty bold and pretty strong once he got saved. He said, you know what? I've been praying about this for quite a while, and I'm asking God's wisdom. And God kind of showed me how to do this with this dike and this thing. Obviously, you had to get the approval and all that stuff. Amen? But God can guide us. Amen? My brother Peter and Gwen go to Bible school, they get married, they come home, and Peter goes back just to his normal job. He didn't have any ministry to do. They looked at each other. What do you think about going with one of our fellow students to the Philippines and doing a short-term mission trip? Well, they went on that short-term mission trip, and they returned 25 years later. Amen? God desires to guide every decision you ever make. Can you imagine your life, what it would be like if you just always made the right decisions? Amen? Look at your life, and no wrong decisions. Don't go the wrong way. Commit your ways to the Lord, and he'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And then his plans are established, and you'll be blessed when you do that, and you'll be successful. Amen? We want the guidance of the Lord. Amen? You know, ever since I've been here, I've wanted that rock wall to be used. Thank God for the school that offered us to come along and me to come along and be trained so we can start using that rock wall. Amen? God can guide you through a person that works at the school district, say, hey, you guys, what do you think about us getting certified in this so we can actually use our rock wall? Well, that would be a no-brainer. That sounds like God, amen? So God wants to guide us and direct us. He'll direct us, you can see in our notes, our careers, our job, our spouse, our house, our church, our ministry, our future, and everything, amen? That would even include coaching again, amen? So anyway, God wants to guide you. With one thing that we've been talking for about the last 2 years at church, and I'm not going to ever stop doing this, we want you to be really involved in Sunday morning church attendance. I want every single one of you to be involved in a small group, and I want every single one of you to be involved in some kind of ministry. You guys with me this morning? Because that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. Implore those, whatever, to use their gifts in serving one another. Amen? Find out what your gift is. Amen? We had 34 kids here on Wednesday night. I think Deb would probably like some of you to help her out a little bit, amen? We do an amazing job with the meal and with the kids. Deb had, 12 kids? Can you imagine having 12 middle school kids upstairs? Okay, just imagine Andy having 15 little 7th grade girls on the team, amen? I went to the school and found out that we got 15 girls. I said, oh, Lord, start praying, amen? God's good. God will guide every aspect of our lives. So he is our guide, amen? Let's keep going here. Point number, what are we on? Five. Which one did I skip? We just did guidance. Six. Now we're on joy. Amen? It's numbered wrong in my notes. That was my fault, I'm sure. So number six, Luke 2, verse 8 through 10. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. So joy is attached to hope. Well, joy is one of the words that you think about when you think of Christmas. Amen? Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it is an amazing verse. It said, may the God of all peace fill you with joy and hope in believing in the Lord. Amen? So why is joy important? Amen? The reason it's important, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If the devil can steal your joy, he gets your strength. So joy, once again, is not based upon our circumstances. Paul taught us that over and over in Philippians, that our happiness is not based upon our surroundings. Happiness and joy actually is based upon something that's inside of our heart. Real joy is found in giving. That's why everybody pretty much enjoys Christmas, don't you? One of the things that you enjoy the most is seeing people's face when they appreciate the gifts that you give them, amen? All right, when the Mennonites come and ask again to use the thing, thank God for Dan and all the other people that do all the work. But you know what? When you have people that are that thankful and that appreciative and say it that many times, you know what? And they show that appreciation. And when you give and use what you have to be a blessing to somebody else and see the joy that that brings to them, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? So bringing your kids Christmas gifts, you look forward to that. God has made us to be givers and not takers. Why are we struggling with the mental illness that we're struggling with in America today? I don't know the answer for a lot of that, but one of the things with some of the young people nowadays, they think that they have an entitlement, amen? They think that the world owes them something. Life and joy and happiness is not found on you trying to get anything. It's found in you giving it away, amen? Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With the measure that you sow out, it will come back to you. And once again, you have to forgive me that I'm a little bit selfish, but the reason I do some of these things, because I believe in the covenant that God made with us. Amen? He said, whatever good thing I do for somebody else, God said he'll do that for me. I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit carnal and fleshly and selfish. That's what, you know what? I know that if I walk in the kingdom principle of being a blessing, that I'm going to be blessed in return and God's going to take care of me, amen? And real joy is found in giving. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, amen? Let me put that a little plug in. Take some time out of your life, go into the foyer and sign up for Salvation Army to ring the bell, amen? If I have to, I'll sign up. I already signed up for 4 hours. I'll sign up for more, amen? Do you realize that the Salvation Army, every single, did I get it right? Yeah, Salvation Army gives about $32,000 away to needy families, and that's right here in Wautoma, right here in this area. It all stays right in our local area. And you know what they do? Because they count on your goodness, they've already given out that $32,000, and they got to replenish the pot. So if you want to be blessed, go and ring the bell, because that blessing will cause other people to be a blessing so that other people can be taken care of for the whole year. Amen? So I want joy. And God made us to be givers and not takers. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The Savior reigns. Let earth receive her King. Let's prepare him room in our hearts and our lives this December and this Christmas. Here's the verse that I was trying to quote earlier again, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and you believe. Why is joy important? You have to study this verse a little bit out. But Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. What does that mean? Joy is your dipper into the things of God. You know what? If you go to the well and you want to get water out of the well, you got to have something to draw the water up with, right? Joy is your dipper into the kingdom of God. Amen? And joy is also found in giving. Point number 6, amen? You guys with me still? Redemption. Luke 2:38, Anna gave thanks and spoke to him for all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem, and that redemption was in Jesus. Turn in your Bibles, we might not have it. Turn in Colossians 1:13-14. If you don't want to turn, part of it is just writing your notes right there. He has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. Is that good news? Once you were a child of the devil, you were bound to sin, you were bound to hell, you were destined to hell, but you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and now you're translated into God's kingdom. Isn't that awesome? You're actually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that means that all the problems and all the demons and everything that comes against you, it's already underneath your feet. He's already seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you are blessed. So we are redeemed. In Ephesians 1:17, in him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 5, now we can stand fast in the liberty because Christ has set us free. We are redeemed from sickness. We're actually redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from spiritual death. Amen? Once we were slaves to sin, now we're sons of God and we're saints. Once we were children of darkness, now we're children of light. Once we were part of the enemy and Satan's kingdom, now we're a part of God's kingdom and we can receive an inheritance. Amen? Point number 6, we can receive the peace of the Lord. Can you guys hang with me if I read a long story here? You can handle it. All right. I was walking down life's pathway not so very long ago when I looked up and I saw a sign. It's called Heaven's Grocery Store. I got a little closer and the door swung open wide. The next thing I knew, I was standing there inside. I saw a host of angels. They were standing everywhere. One handed me a basket and said, my child, now shop with care. Everything a Christian needed was in that grocery store, and what you couldn't carry out, you could come the next day and go for more. Well, first I got some patience. Love is in the same row. Further down was some understanding. You need those things everywhere you go. I got a box or two of wisdom, a bar or two of faith that you couldn't miss. The Holy Ghost was all over the place. I didn't forget for salvation was free. I wanted to get enough to have to save both you and me. There was meekness, long-suffering, and gentleness I saw at the glance. I knew I better get some. Without it, I'd never have a better chance. I stopped to get some courage to help me run life's race. Then the basket was getting full. I remembered I needed grace. Then I started for the counter to pay my grocery bill. I thought I had almost everything to do the Father's will, and I saw a prayer. I saw a prayer just as I just had to put that in. I knew when I stepped outside the door, I'd run right into sin. Joy and peace were plentiful, and they were on the same shelf. Songs and praises were hanging everywhere, so I just helped myself. Then I said to the angel, how much do I really owe you? And he smiled. He said, oh, just take them with you everywhere you go. But I said, no, I want to pay. How much do I really owe? And he said, well, it's paid all on Calvary a long time ago. You guys with me this morning? So we have redemption, all of these different things. We have peace. Isaiah 7:14 says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Luke 2:14, which I already read, said Jesus will bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Romans 5:1, we have justified and now we have peace with God. Isn't that awesome? What does that mean that Jesus is my peace? That means I don't have to have anxiety anymore. Wouldn't that be nice to live your life without anxiety? Jesus said, my peace I give you, the peace not as the world gives, amen? He said, if you think on that which is good, pure, perfect, lovely, and I'll do all these things, he said, the God of peace will be with you. And then he said in Colossians 3:15, if you're thankful, he said, then that peace will actually guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Would you like to receive peace this Christmas season? No anxiety. How would you like to live your life with no fear? Wouldn't that be a good way to live your life? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he doesn't want you to live in fear. He doesn't want you to live with anxiety. His perfect peace will pass all understanding. It'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. No more anxiety and no more fear. Wouldn't that be a gift that you'd want to unwrap this Christmas season? The peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our heart and mind. He said, actually, if you keep your mind on him, I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon him. So thank you, Jesus. Today, you are our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you are in our lives and you bring favor and blessing and guidance and joy and redemption and peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. And Father, we pray that we would open the door of our lives to every one of these great gifts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would receive you as our Savior, our favor, our blessing, our guidance, our joy, our redemption, and our peace.